You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
We're coming to you from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks. Breaking down their 24-22 wild card round loss to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. A game that was strikingly similar in its ending to the ending of the Rose Bowl earlier this week as the Huskies and Seahawks continue their long-running parallels.
I said this was the worst day of my life. What I meant was this is the worst week of my life.
Could be. It's almost like I said it was going to be the best week in Seattle's sports. where do we start with this one?
Destroying children's toys?
yelling at your children?
I didn't yell at my children that much.
Only occasionally.
There's a lot of them. It's easy to yell at them. Okay, so we previewed this game earlier this week, and I've been right about a lot of Seahawks games this year, right?
Yes.
I was not right about this one.
You were not.
No. Let it be known that I'm throwing my shoes at the wall.
It's not the shoe's fault.
I outlined. Look, when you look at this matchup, you can see that the Seahawks' strengths, running the ball, outside receivers, are exactly the things that the Cowboys are good at. But I felt like the Seahawks would be smart enough as a team to exploit their weaknesses. And turns out they're not.
No.
They had a game plan going into this game that was like, let's look at what the Cowboys are really good at and play into that. That's what they did. This fucking bullshit about the first 2 weeks, which we're talking about over and over and over again, where everything changed after that. The schedule changed. Do you know what changed?
They played a series of terrible run defenses.
They played a series of terrible run defenses from week 3 through week 17.
There were some average ones in there.
They played a good run defense in week 18, and they did terrible. Because when you only have one mode, that's what you do. When you can't change up your offense, that's what you do. And what they did is they ran the ball into the gut of a very good run defense, and they had no other mode, and the offense amounted to really a lucky 22 points.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far, but a relying on the individual brilliance of
13 carries for 20 yards for Chris Carson. This is your fucking Pro Bowler over here? Are you kidding me?
Wait, did he make the Pro Bowl? You mean your NFC Player of the Week?
Sorry.
Month.
NFC Player of the Week. Maybe he didn't make the Pro Bowl. I'm sure that the running back on the other side did make the Pro Bowl because he was not going against a good run defense. The thing is, what you had was the Seahawks going against somebody's strengths, their strengths on offense, or not even their strengths, the thing that they wanted to do on offense, going against the opponent's strengths, with the Cowboys on the other side and their strengths going against the Seahawks' weaknesses. How did we not see this coming?
But yet, despite all that, I mean, you know, you can talk all you want about the Cowboys' ability to defend outside wide receivers. Tyler Lockett was thrown to 6 times in this game, caught 4 of them for 120 yards, an average of 20 yards per target. Doug Baldwin didn't have that big of a game, but he did come up with that huge 22-yard catch along the sideline. They just didn't give their playmakers a chance to make plays.
Their playmakers are, yeah, yes, they didn't give their playmakers a chance to make plays, but also they didn't give Russell Wilson a chance to make plays.
No, I'm including him in the playmaker.
The entire field tonight.
I'm not including him in the list of playmakers. I'm just saying him in throwing to those receivers is the best thing the Seahawks can do.
Russell Wilson throwing to offense or defense is Russell Wilson, and they didn't let him have the ball.
Russell Wilson throwing the ball screen to Nick Vanette on 3rd and 17 is not maybe the best use of Russell Wilson.
I hate this team more than anything.
I mean,
you know what? The worst thing that happened to this team was making the playoffs.
But they lost in the playoffs, and maybe that will force them to re-examine some of the things they believe.
They're not going to examine anything. Are you kidding me? We don't need to pivot to next year, but nothing is changing. This is the shit we're dealing with so long as Pete Carroll's the coach. Well, and he's going to be the coach forever.
I mean, he does mean win forever, literally, perhaps. Look, I mean, if the downside is losing in the first round of the playoffs, let me tell you, having followed the Seahawks more closely than you did in the 1990s, it gets a lot worse than that.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes they don't overturn that Dak Prescott touchdown.
Wasting the prime of one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And you're telling me right now that the worst they could have a situation where they have Dan McGuire as the quarterback? Like, that's your alternative? Russell, they did not have in the 90s between Dave Craig, Dan McGuire, Rick Meyer, John Kitna. They did not have...
How dare you leave John Freese out of that?
They did not have one of the top...
Where is your respect for Glenn Foley?
And they now do, and Pete Carroll got so confused by what happened this year. He looked at the season. He took the record that happened this season, 10-6, they didn't realize, A, they played an easy schedule, and B, he has the best quarterback in the NFL. And what he saw was,
quarterback in the NFL, wow.
Wow, they have a great run game. Like, I'm sorry, but it's like if the Patriots were just like, you know what, Brady can leave, but we've got Sony Michel and James White.
I wouldn't rule that. I wouldn't completely rule that.
We have a team where they don't understand what the strengths are. Are you disagreeing with me about this?
No.
And that is the...
But I don't think that's
unovercomable. Issue. Making the playoffs made all of the mistakes that happened this offseason seem like they weren't mistakes. I saw people... There was a post on Reddit that our boy Mike Chan posted, right?
That he retweeted? Not that he...
Well, he reposted it from Reddit.
Yeah,
where
he
it was
didn't
like,
actually
the great thing about the Cable Thanos videos is it's like refuting the people like Zach and Ben who are like smart Seahawks fans but realizing they're stupid and it's good to draft a running back in the first round. But you know what? They could have drafted Leighton Vander Esch or Darius Leonard in the first round.
I mean, I don't think he specifically pointed to the Rashad
Seahawks
Penny pick.
Just because made the playoffs doesn't mean that it was okay to draft Rashad Penny in the first round.
I don't think that the Rashad Penny pick was specifically mentioned in that. I think it was more generally talking about the overall assessment of the team, which, yes, the Seahawks did somewhat outperform what we expected this season.
They didn't!
Yeah, they did!
They had an easier schedule than we expected them to have.
No, even when you adjust for schedule with DVOA.
Ugh!
They were a better team by DVOA than we expected, certainly given the injury to Earl Thomas.
Check the stats.
I did check the stats. I'm literally talking about the stats.
About what we predicted?
We're going to do that soon enough. I'm confident that the Seahawks outperformed what we expected, particularly on offense.
Just barely.
By a noticeable margin. But there were on that, they was masking underlying issues, and this playoff game revealed those issues. Obviously that, the fact that the Seahawks defense was so dependent on success in the red zone and on third down, and even though they got the early red zone stop against the Cowboys, the fact that Dallas was able to punch it in their other three trips to the red zone was a big factor in this game. And, you know, they still were pretty good on third down, 4 of 11 for Dallas. But they, you know, the things that were unsustainable proved unsustainable, to reiterate something you said early in the season.
Okay. I mean, it's true. I don't know what else to add to that.
I would also include punt coverage and having a 41-year-old kicker. Although that actually, I guess,
honestly, I don't think those things mattered.
You don't think the punt coverage mattered?
The real issue here
you don't think giving up
the offense. The real
you don't
issue
think giving up a 51-yard return to Tavon Austin mattered in this game?
The thing that mattered in this game was the offense.
That was the single most important thing. I guess, actually, they did get another red zone stop, didn't they? The KJ Wright interception. So...
It's almost like I'm upset about the KJ Wright interception because I wanted to rail against the refs in this game, which I will do later. But because the average fan saw maybe some contact there.
The average fan. Yeah, pretty much anyone who like looked at the replay and wasn't wearing blue and green glasses while doing so saw some contact ahead of the ball getting there.
It kind of makes the complaint about the refereeing a little bit moot. I just don't know. I don't know what they went in this game expecting to do. Like, honestly.
I think they expected to run successfully because of the fact that they had J.R. Sweezy and DJ Fluker
healthy.
Because
at what the other team is good at. Like, honestly, what you're saying is, I saw a quote going into this game. It was like, John Schneider's like, we're going to see a 1940s type football game. We're going to see a throwback game. And you know who had one of those games?
That's an accurate quote. Are we sure that someone wasn't just making that up?
Accurate quote.
Okay. If you say so.
The Cowboys were leading and passed the ball more than the Seahawks did. They ended up with Zeke getting more carries than Chris Carson because we tried to establish Rashad Penny later on in the game. But, like, this was not a 1940s football game for the Cowboys. The Cowboys played a diverse game, and the Seahawks tried to establish a rules of engagement that the Cowboys didn't agree with.
Yeah.
The Seahawks tried to say, oh, this is going to be a run first down, run second down type of game.
But this, I mean...
Oh, what, they started passing on first down four series into the game? They could have been leading at that point.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that part of it. I'm just saying that I don't think Dallas had to play
that
style of play.
They ran on, like, second and 18. They ran every opportunity there was to run, and they gave the game away. What about this makes you feel good about the Seahawks?
The fact that they were in the playoffs. Russell Wilson.
Oh, the fact that they made the playoffs makes you feel good about the Seahawks?
Yeah.
God, I hate you. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That's it.
First off, I heard on a podcast last year he was like the 8th to 15th best quarterback in the NFL. So given his salary, that probably shouldn't be good enough
you
to make the playoffs.
You shouldn't have said that. That was really an embarrassing thing for you to say. What they have is they have Russell Wilson and they have nothing. They have Russell Wilson, they have Bobby Wagner, and they have Michael Dixon.
And Tyler Lockett.
And Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett out of it. And Doug Baldwin, what he did this season, despite not being healthy, you have to give Doug Baldwin a tremendous amount of credit.
And they have a serviceable offensive line.
Yes. I think maybe even an above average at one. I mean, it wasn't, again, this is what we expect. This is
13 carries for 20 yards for Chris Carson.
This is what Dallas has been doing all year.
It's not what they've been doing all year. It's what they've been doing for about half the year. But the Seahawks didn't realize that. They didn't realize it. They should have come out passing and passing and passing and passing.
Yes, they should have.
And what they did was they did their same stupid shit that they always do, and it didn't work, and they couldn't pivot.
It's not like they're listening to the podcast. I don't know how many times we have
they're
to
They're not listening to the podcast. They're not reading 538. They don't know who Frisco Josh is. Pete Carroll is an old man who the game has passed him by. But you know what? The entire
NFL... So you think
NFL,
the Seahawks would be better off with a different coach?
Yes.
I disagree.
With Russell Wilson and a different coach? Yes.
There's a lot of bad coaches out there. I hate to break it to you. There's a lot of coaches out there who can give a good quarterback and still not have a good team. Maybe Mike McCarthy.
A lot of people who went, yeah, Mike McCarthy. Wait till he gets a good coach or a good quarterback, though. there's a lot of people
Dan
who,
Quinn.
Who coached Phil Rivers, and
yeah,
there are not that many good coaches who have the type of caliber of quarterback as Russell Wilson and let them pass the ball and are bad coaches. Also, Dan Quinn got really unlucky on defense. Dan Quinn's a good coach.
I mean, I don't know. Their defense has never been that good other than the 2016 playoffs, but, you know.
Dan Quinn is a good coach.
2017 playoffs, I guess. 2016 season.
The issue is they went into this game with a bad game plan, and it was exposed as a bad game plan, and people talked for a fucking month about Chris Carson, and it was like 13 carries for 20 yards, because you know what, Luca? Running backs don't matter.
Wow. I mean, technically, he did say that after Rashad Penny ripped off the one long run the Seahawks had in this game.
Yeah, Rashad Penny had a long of 28, and he had four carries for 29 yards.
Yes, you take away that one run, the Seahawks' other 21 carries by their running back.
It just doesn't
went
matter.
Went for a combined 31 yards.
It does not matter who is back there. All that matters is the holes. It could be C.J. Anderson. It could be Trey Madden. It does not matter who it is.
Maybe the Seahawks missed Trey Madden today.
They did not miss Trey
Madden.
Also,
the fact that they came out with back-to-back plays with George Fant as a sixth lineman.
Whatever. Wow. I'm not necessarily against that. If
they have been very good this season with George Fant as a sixth lineman.
If you're able to do something with it, but they weren't.
And when are they going to set up the George Fant touchdown play?
2019.
It is 2019. I don't know. Do we need to wait? Should we talk about the defense?
Fine. Honestly, I'm less down on the defense than maybe you are. I thought they played a pretty good game.
I mean, they didn't play... They remained a good, terrible defense. They allowed Dallas to routinely march the ball downfield, came up with some timely stops, occasionally, you know, made big plays on third down. I mean, it was a very Seahawks-y defensive performance. But one running team was able to establish a run and successfully move the ball on the ground, and that team was the Cowboys.
I mean, I guess that's true, but they also benefited from one big carry.
Yeah, I mean, there was near 4 yards per carry on Ezekiel Elliott's other 25 carries. And then, of course, the Dak Prescott.
Look, it wasn't 13 carries for 20 yards. No. They weren't awful. No. But the Seahawks are a bad defense. We know that. And honestly, Pete Carroll should have known that.
Well, I don't think that he did know that.
Why do coaches not care about stats? They're readily available.
Because Pete Carroll has been successful for a long period of time in his career without using them.
What about looking at advanced stats makes the team worse?
I mean, in a small sample size, it's possible that being more aggressive on fourth down and things of that nature would be worse for the team. You know, over time, it is going to be better.
But understanding strengths and weaknesses, why do we understand, and you complain about this, your checker's chess comment, right, where it's like an average fan is like saying that they understand more than the coaches do. But why do we understand what the strengths and weaknesses of the Dallas Cowboys are better than Brian fucking Schottenheimer and Pete Carroll do?
But I don't know that they don't understand them. I think
they just
understand
don't care.
They're just like uber confident that they can overcome it. Like, it's a fundamental optimism.
If we're hanging a banner for the season, it's not covering the spread. It's not making the playoffs. The banner that we should hang from this offseason is 13 carries for 20 yards.
Oh no.
And that banner should remind us like a scarlet letter every single day that you do not play into your opponent's strengths.
I mean, I don't know that they shouldn't have run the ball because of the fact that it's a Dallas strength. They shouldn't have run the ball because they're way better at passing.
That too.
You should worry more about your strengths and weaknesses than the opponent's strengths and weaknesses, in my opinion.
They don't know what their strengths and weaknesses are. Like, if we're being honest, the Seahawks are unaware of what their strengths and weaknesses are. You have nothing else to say about this game, do you?
I mean, there were two ways this game could have gone. There was the way where the Seahawks used the good offense and Dallas made more mistakes and was less effective on third down, ran the ball like slightly worse, and the Seahawks just sort of comfortably won this game. I mean, the weird thing is, of course, that the Seahawks had the lead in the second half despite everything they did wrong in the first half. And then still, I mean, the one series we haven't talked about here.
Okay, yeah, cue it up.
After the Seahawks get the KJ Wright interception to preserve the 3-point game with about 9.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you get Justin Britt hold on first down, first and 20.
On a run.
No, that was on a play action.
Oh.
Seahawks already, the series is over at that point.
Yes.
But then, after a 5-yard pass on first and 20, which, hey, passed on first and 20, you get...
It was like a little flare outside. It wasn't a real pass.
No, but you get a DJ Fluker unnecessary roughness penalty that pushes you back to 2nd and 22 at your own 8-yard line, and the series is over there.
I hate this team.
You get another short completion to Tyler Lockett for 2 yards, a draw to Mike Davis on 3rd and 20, and end up punting.
A give-up draw.
I mean, the problem is not the play calling on 3rd and 20.
Pat Mahomes tries. Andy Reid does not give up on 3rd and 20, and he's the number one seed in the AFC.
The Chiefs are not the number one seed in the AFC because of what happens on 3rd and 20. They just don't get to 3rd and 20 that much.
They make a lot of 3rd and 20s. I don't know if they make a lot of 3rd and 20s. The Chiefs make a lot of and long plays. They don't give up. They don't give up, and the Seahawks give up often. They gave up over and over and over again in this game. They did flare passes to Nick Vinette. They did draws on 2nd and 20. They didn't try for like 60% of the long plays in this game. It's bad. What they're doing is bad.
I mean, the problem is not the long plays. The problem is 1st and 2nd down passing. That's the problem. Not doing that.
Everything about this is bad. Okay, it's long plays. It's first and second down passing. It's everything about this offense. I really thought it was different, and I feel stupid for thinking it was different. Honestly, I do. I feel like I was duped by the Seahawks for thinking this game would look differently.
I mean, but it could have gone differently. Like, again, one playoff game is not a very large sample size, but that's why you have to hope that they overreact to it. And learn the right lessons in the wrong way.
They're going to run the ball more. Nothing about the Seahawks regime says, oh yeah, we're going to look at what happened and have the right response to this. At no point have they done that all year.
They haven't needed to this year.
They had maybe one good series all year. They're fucking George Bush, mission accomplished. Nothing about the Seahawks. They looked at those Seattle Times headlines that said nobody thought they could make the playoffs, but they did. And Pete Carroll's going to say on Monday morning, I swear to God, Pete Carroll's going to say this. Nobody thought we could make the playoffs, but we did. This was a successful season.
I don't know that Pete's in. First off, Pete is not going to call this a successful season.
He absolutely is.
No.
The Seahawks are going.
You cannot call a year where you didn't win a playoff game for only the third time in your 9 years as head coach of the Seahawks. Which, by the way, again, amazing thing. The Seahawks have won a playoff game in 6 of the 9 years that Pete Carroll was coach.
Somehow I hate this team. I even wore my Russell Wilson jersey. I could have been wearing Richard Sherman right now, just to my talk shit jersey. But I wore Russell Wilson out of camaraderie. And I made a mistake.
Well, that's on you. That is on you. Is this? Have we reached the portion where you complain about the refereeing?
Are you kidding me? This game was completely changed because of one call at the end of the first half. Honestly, two calls. There was a face mask on Russell Wilson when he was sacked. The quarterback, the one position that is supposed to be protected for this NFL season. And the Cowboys grab Russell Wilson's face mask as he's being sacked. The one player that you don't lose a face mask on. And there's nothing. Can I get with my boy somehow, Bill Belichick, and think that all penalties should be reviewable? Like, why is this not reviewable? Because it's clearly a penalty. If we were able to challenge that, would that not have been a penalty?
It would have been a penalty.
Okay. Okay, so that's not even the one that I'm most upset about. Fast forward to the end of the half. Seahawks are driving 3-3. A pass to the end zone to Doug Baldwin, where he is both face guarded and his arms are grabbed in the end zone. This is a pass interference. And it is not called.
It was probably a pass interference.
It was a pass interference! And difference
I think it was
between
a fairly marginal pass interference as pass interference.
Grabbing his arms?
And not nearly as dramatic a pass interference as KJ Wright on his interception.
They're the same. They're tied.
Not the same.
But on the only difference between the two is that the KJ Wright one didn't matter as much. We're going to fight about this.
Yeah, the play where they...
We're going to play Salad Bowl after this, and one of the questions is going to be uncalled pass interference on Doug Baldwin, and you're never going to get it!
I mean, the KJ Wright play also would have been first and goal.
This changed the entire climate of the game. If the Seahawks go into the half up 10-3, which they would have done had this been called, they had
but
the ball.
Why would Dallas necessarily not have scored in that scenario?
There's more time gone, and B, it's just a completely different situation. They had the ball up 10-3. It is a completely different game at that point. And they were screwed. The Seahawks were screwed by that non-call. And that's what happens. That's why teams that are the higher seed have been excellent in the playoffs for the last 4 years or whatever. And that's what happened.
Look, calls are going to happen in a game.
Why do the calls seem to happen for them in crucial moments?
I just pointed to you to the KJ Wright, which was a more crucial play because they didn't score on that possession. They got 0 points instead of 7, as opposed to 3 points instead of 7, which, you know,
was
I wasn't
seven,
a math
was
major,
7 points,
but I'm pretty sure that 7 is larger than 4. 7 minus 0 is larger than 7 minus 3. Don't try to do the math at home.
The end of the half was a more important situation.
No,
and it changed the entire climate of the game. If the Seahawks go into that half 10-3.
You're only saying that because the Seahawks lost, A. And first off, why are they going into halftime up 10-3? Dallas
the Cowboys
are getting the same
scoring.
Position.
If they score a touchdown, the Cowboys are not scoring.
This is because the Seahawks would have had so much momentum.
Also, by the
this way, is your argument?
Like, come on, this coverage with your Ken Norton over here. Ken Norton is a fine defensive coordinator, but like,
I don't know.
That's me making a lot of faces like...
What coverage?
It was on the 3rd-and-1 that Ezekiel Elliott ran for 44 yards
that's
on.
That's an execution. They've covered it the same way
where
all
Shaquille
year
Griffin
long.
Just drifts inside for...
He made a mistake. Like, that's
Shaquille
an execution
Griffin
issue.
Is also the reason they lost this game.
No one player is the reason they lost the game.
That call in the halftime is the reason they lost this game. You're the reason they lost this game, and Shaquille Griffin.
So now Brian Schottenheimer's play calling is off, though, completely?
He's number 4.
The offensive game plan.
It's number 4? Okay. If I could blame all the people in the world.
Okay, I'm glad you got that.
First, I would blame Brian Schottenheimer's play calling. Then I would blame the officials for the non-pass interference in the end zone. Then I would blame Shaquille Griffin for his poor play. What was the fourth one? You?
Yes, I think I was the fourth one. Usually, there's a lot of complaining during Seahawks games about my pessimism. In this case, I was not the pessimist. And yet,
how dare you?
You know, now it's just okay, apparently, to be pessimistic the entire game.
There's only pessimism about... When is there ever pessimism about you during Seahawks games? Nothing has changed. We've just played a lot of home games at the end of the year.
No, I mean that people get upset that I am too pessimistic during games.
Who?
You. Whom's the famous cousin Katie, particularly.
I have always encouraged you being upset.
Not upset.
I say let the hate inside of you flow. We have nothing else to say here. This is the worst. The Seahawks game was the worst. I hate football. Bring on basketball season.
Oh, wow, this is a real turn.
Bring on college basketball season, especially. There's only going to be one bid, and that bid's going to be the Dogs!
Well, they are leading at halftime over Wazoo by 3 points at home, so, you know, things are going according to schedule. All right, also breaking this quote from Alistair Corp of Field Goals. Pete Carroll just said they didn't get enough carries in the first half, so you were right. They're not going to learn anything.
Did you think that they were?
Yeah, I did. I honestly did.
What did you think would be different? Welcome to your life now.
I mean, again, there are worse fates.
There aren't worse fates!
Frustrating isn't the same as bad. But this is really frustrating. So on that note...
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.